fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Thursday. It is Thursday, the 23rd day of March, year of our Lord 2023. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Yes, the sun's coming up, and we're going about to do the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The purpose of today is to inventory all medical supplies, all first aid supplies. You may be pleasantly surprised at what you do have and may be a bit disappointed at what's not there or what's gone bad. You need to make sure everything's in good condition, ready for immediate use. Your patient Wayne Green with my friend Kirk. Kirk is the proprietor of Water Revolution, his company. He's the proprietor of the company. His company manufactures a complete line of water filters that will help you not only have clean water, but healthy water. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, John. How are you?
If I felt any better, it wouldn't be better. How about yourself? Wouldn't be legal. How about yourself?
Me too.
Kirk, I'm reading an article here published at the RAIRfoundation.com. Apparently, they focus a lot on what's going on with the COVID clot shot. Article published today. The author is Amy Meck, M-E-K. Here's the headline. German government and media admit COVID vaccine damage. Victims tell their horrific stories. Apparently, half of all the people in Germany, which is almost all the people in Germany, who've gotten the COVID vaccination clot shot, have had adverse reactions. About half of them, which would be about one-fourth the population, have had serious adverse reactions. There's a story here about a high school girl who got the clot shot and was pushed to get a second dose. Now she's basically disabled. Then there's a story here about an attorney. This guy should have known better. You know, he got the clot shot and got an autoimmune reaction that caused thrombosis and severe cerebral damage, leaving with brain damage and permanent disabilities. I'm reminded, Kirk, of the ruling of the judge in France. The gentleman died from the clot shot. his family sued the insurance company, who was not going to pay out the premium. And the judge said the deceased may or may not have known that this vaccine could kill him, but he could have, because the information was publicly available. Basically, the judge said he killed himself, didn't he, Kirk?
Well, I mean, they're going to do everything they can, you know, to justify their greedy actions.
No, I think it is justified.
I mean the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
They're going to manipulate and control everything they possibly can to justify their actions. And I understand that now, Bourla over at Pfizer has actually decided to purchase a cancer treatment company. So not only can they make you sick with their vaccine, but now they're going to make more money treating you once you get sick. Absolutely insane.
Turbo cancer. From the moment you're diagnosed to when you're dead with stage 4 cancer, maybe 4 weeks, maybe even quicker than that.
The immune system is so important. It's so crucial that people have an understanding of taking care of it, because nobody else is going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, tonight we have the annual fundraiser for the Republicans in my county. It's Lincoln Day. I'll be at the front table taking people's tickets and money. And we're going to have the lieutenant governor is going to be our speaker, who we hope will be our next governor. We have an appointed governor at the moment. And it's going to be a great evening, a lot of great people, good food. The caterer always does a great job. We expect about 200 people in attendance. Boy Scouts will present the colors. They do a great job every year. And it'll be a fun evening, and the marvelous Mrs. Moore will be all decked out in her finery. It'll be a great evening there, Kirk. We wish you could be there.
Yeah, I wish I could too. You know, just to contrast this between your state and my state, or your county and my county, when we have a Republican event, there's about 16 people in the room. And I would say 14 of them are 80, you know, or 75 to 80. So that's the energy level that we have here, you know, for the Republican committee here in my county. And the fellow that ran it for years and years, who's was a wonderful guy, died 2 years ago. And I haven't been back since, but I need to go check it out and see what's happening now. But my guess is it's much of the same. You know, this is all tobacco agriculture, you know, in my community. Right. The people that have money have it as a result of that, and the land that they own that was passed down for generations, and the 5 or 6 real estate lawyers, you know, who are in the county. And, you know, you put all this together and it makes for a very easy to control population. This could almost be like an advertisement, you know, for what. And I can't believe that the South or any part of the South has become this. It absolutely blows me away, understanding history as I do, that the people in North Carolina would actually put up with this nonsense. It's just unbelievable. But we'll see. You know, the all the chips haven't been thrown in yet. We'll see what happens.
So I don't know the status of North Carolina. Your two senators and your governor, what's their party affiliation?
Yeah, they're called Crook 1 and Crook 2 and then Crook 3. And their party affiliation, you know, is Rhino and, you know, deep Democrat. The governor's Democratic. The two senators, I think, are Republican, but, you know, you can't really call them Republican. I mean, they're deep Rhinos, and they vote, you know, mostly the same way that the other, you know, Democrats do.
Amazing.
But it's a bad situation, you know, in this state.
Well, at the Republican Central Committee meeting Tuesday evening, our conclusion was, if Donald Trump didn't pay to be arrested, he probably should pay to be arrested, because it's the best thing that could happen to him in terms of getting his base of support galvanized and getting more money than he's ever gotten before as a candidate. That would be a great thing to help President Trump be reelected, is for him to be arrested. What do you think, Kirk?
Well, I mean, that is a silver lining, you know, from one perspective. Anybody that's ever been involved in anything like this will tell you that it literally takes 10 or 15 years off your life. Now, Trump is stronger and has thicker skin than most. So maybe it won't affect him the same way. But it is a terrible, terrible, shocking circumstance. I mean, and now we find out that they're hiding all kinds of exculpatory evidence. You know, it's the same thing we see over and over and over again. The judge that's presiding this case is obviously deeply liberal. And I just don't understand. You know, and again, this is New York City. The New York City that I grew up in wouldn't stand for this crap. And the one that we have now, after all the really good people have left, is what they deserve, unfortunately.
And well, there's information leaking out of the grand jury that the grand jurors are not very happy at all with what they're learning. And yeah, I think he has to get, was it a simple majority to have an indictment?
I don't know. I mean, the grand jury thing is funky to begin with, because as you know, there's no defense, you know, that is allowed to be put on. And, you know, I think these people can be easily manipulated. I'm sure they cherry picked, you know, the jury in the best way that they can. And at the end of the day, it is New York City. And I don't know. The only good, really, really, really good people, I think, that are left are the people that are rich, that can afford to be there and put up with all this junk and, you know, live a somewhat isolated life with their own bodyguards and, you know, secure building. I mean, I saw an apartment on YouTube the other day that literally, it looked like a prison cell, and it was $850 a month. I mean, you couldn't even call it a studio apartment. It was like a closet. I mean, my mother had a really, really high-end studio apartment for years. Number 4 Park Avenue is Park and 34th in the Mulberry District there. Beautiful, beautiful building. And she was paying exorbitant amounts of money for this studio. And, you know, it had one of these, like, you know, hallway kitchenettes that you couldn't even really cook a meal in. So this thing was probably a third of the size of her apartment, which was a studio. And, you know, this is what people are forced to be in now. It's just incredible. But
it's a free country, and they can leave and go someplace else.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends, you know, on what their job is and what their, you know, energy level, you know, ability to visualize something new. You know, that you and I are very independent and very strong minded, and there's a lot of people that are not, and they maybe they don't see a way out. Maybe they like. There's a lot of benefits to city living. I mean, don't get me wrong. I worked for years in New York City as a young teenager, and there's a lot of benefits to it. But, you know, those benefits have now become seriously outweighed by the negatives. And the prices have just gone insanely crazy. I mean, it's just nuts. But like you say, you know, best move is to get out, you know, for sure, because in the coming tragedies that we see, you know, population is not your friend, unfortunately.
No. Being around any city of a 250,000 plus population is not a good idea. It's really right. Not a good idea. We got open lines. You got a question or comment? Give us a call at 512-248-8252. What's on your radar that you'd like to talk about this morning?
Well, Kurt? I mean, I've got a couple of things. One is a letter that I found that Thomas Jefferson wrote, but it is about a 5-minute read. I don't know if you have the time for it, but I think it's incredible. I mean, the fact that this was written 250 years ago and how completely it describes what we're experiencing right now, to me, is just incredible. I mean, people have different opinions of Thomas Jefferson. Obviously, a very, very bright man, a working man, as well as an educated, formerly educated man, you know, able to, you know, take rust off a hammer and build things and design. I mean, I have an incredible amount of respect for many of his attributes, but this letter is just tremendous. And then, you know, we're faced now with what we see with the banks. And I think this is the number one thing. I think, and now even the Fed is admitting that there is a fourth function of money, which they're calling means of social control. You know, I call it the Chinese the Chinese social control system, which is going to come hand in hand with this new digital, you know, aspect. I mean, they're going to be able to, you know, ultimately say where you go, how you go, when you go, does your car even start if it's electric? I mean, even if it's not, I mean, I have a feeling probably a lot of the gas cars in the last 5 or 10 years have these electronic control systems in them, and they may be able to be shut off with a switch too. You know, who knows? I mean, I've had a car that had an internet connection built into it for the last 10 years, or wait a minute, it's more than that. Since 2009, I've had a car that's had a internet, you know, a station built directly into it, which means it can be communicated with easily from the outside. Even if you don't have the services activated, it's still functional. So this is just a scary, scary proposition. And there's all kinds of, there's like mini runs going on right now on banks all over the world. And the big banks, like the chairman of Credit Suisse, is now saying that those bank runs are the fault directly of social media and alt broadcasting, that we're causing this because we're talking about the problem. And, you know, used to be, which is insane in of itself. I mean, fractional reserve banking is a rabbit hole that once you go down, you'll never have faith again, you know, in any of this. But it's like, you know, used to be that they had to keep 10% of liquid on board at the bank. So if you went in and deposited 100,000, they had to keep 10 grand for you specifically, you know, or everybody on the 10% ratio. And now after COVID, they even took that away. So now the bank is not required by banking law to actually have any of the money that you deposit available for your withdrawal. I mean, they're happy to give you digital credits because they cost them nothing, if you understand the system. But you go in there and you try to withdraw your cash, and they actually are not required now to have any. So really, we're being forced and pushed into this new system. And so much of the money, you look at the actual physical currency that's on board, it's like half of 1% physical currency versus the digital currency, which keeps growing, obviously, with every, you know, pen stroke of the Fed and Congress. And you look at this and you think, you know, there's no way that this can survive moving forward. I mean, that's just idiot common sense. It's like Monopoly. You know, the new Monopoly game actually tells you that it's impossible for the bank in Monopoly to run out of money. And if they do, well, the banker can just write numbers on a piece of paper and use those pieces of paper in the Monopoly game. And I don't see much difference between that and what we have right now and have had for years. And this, of course, is one of the major causes of lack of financial strength. I mean, there isn't any, you know, for anybody. And, you know, you look at these big banks. I mean, the Treasury Secretary, Yellen, said yesterday on a show, I listened to it, that they're only going to support the banks that they deem worthwhile to support. What she said was that a majority of the Fed committee, plus her, plus the president, has to agree that it's in the best interest of the country to support a specific bank, which means that all these small savings and loans, all these credit bureaus, all these little guys that really support America are going to be, you know, up the creek without a paddle. And we're going to see this thing unfold. So this is getting serious, folks, with the money, and something that we all need to be aware of. I encourage everybody on the line to do their own due diligence research and look into this, because it is going to be serious. And when that hits, it's going to affect everything, because everything, as we know, you know, moves on money, the whole economy, the ability to spend money. And John's talked about many, many times correctly that, you know, the type of spending that people do that are not required becomes very nil or very
discretionary
limited.
Discretionary spending.
Yeah, right, exactly. And you know, this is a serious thing for all the small businesses. And we've also seen things come out in the news where the Fed specifically and the Treasury Department and the Justice Department are talking about how they don't like small businesses because they can't control them. You know, the big businesses, they can control. The little ones, they can't. You know, they can run down the street and talk to Solomon if they need to make a change, but they can't do that with the millions of small businesses in America. And all of this is under threat, and that's the engine. If there's any engine left that keeps us free, it's the small businesses. I hope everybody can see that, because, you know, all the discretionary spending and the ability to support and make contributions and, you know, solidify various things, all of that typically comes from small businesses. And if that goes away, boy, we are in big, big, big trouble. And it's very disconcerting to see what's happening moving forward. But even more disconcerting was Thomas Jefferson's mention of everything we're experiencing now 250 years ago, which to me is just incredible. I'll turn it back over to you. If we have time, you can let me read it. It's probably a 5-minute read, I would guess.
Okay, well, we'll get back from the break. We'll get into that. We got a break. Call number is 512-248-8252. Thank you.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Fix bayonets.
Leave Eden and Nicole Colgren. Wherefore many men have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by Water Evolution, manufacturing a complete line of water filters, including a ReadyPure countertop stainless steel water filter, which instead of the very fragile, and it is very fragile, plastic spigot that's on Berkey's, the ReadyPure has a solid metal spigot that will last for decades. And let's see, you say you have something you want to read there, Kirk?
I do, but I think we've got Charlie holding.
We do. Well, let's take this call. Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
Well, good morning. Good morning, John. Good morning, Kurt. I wanted to make a comment, but first I wanted to compliment you on your show yesterday, John. That was a wonderful show. It was absolutely,
wasn't it? Yes.
Incredible.
Thank you.
It was one of the best shows I've heard in a long time. And I'd highly recommend anybody out there listening that they could go to the archives and at least listen to the first 2 hours of your broadcast yesterday. It was really good. And I also make sure to take some pictures of this when you and the marvelous Mrs. Moore go to this Republican convention or whatever it is you're going to go to, and post them on your Twitter account or put them on your webpage. I'd love to.
Well, we just might do that. If I have her consent, we will do so. That's up to her.
Well, You said she was going to be decked out in her finest, and I think she would like to see that. Yeah.
All right.
So, anyway, Kurt, you were talking about a subject. I think I've been thinking about this lately, too, and this has to do with this, the Biden administration saying they're only going to, certain banks are going to bail out, you know, the big, that's going to be all their friends, all the top Republican donating banks. And what I see happening, what I worry about that might happen from all this is that you see a lot of, if this gets worse or if it continues, a lot of the smaller banks, like you were mentioning, the savings and loans and the small banks, they're going to fold and these bigger banks are going to buy them up. Am I still on?
You're here.
Yeah, the bigger banks are the bigger banks are going to start buying them up, and that we're seeing like almost a takeover of the big banks here. You know, taking over a lot of the smaller banks. That's one of my worries that this may spiral out of control into this.
Oh, it's definitely going to happen. It's been going on already for 10 years. I mean, they've been consolidating banks now for 10 years. My bank has changed hands 3 times. My main bank, you know, that we use for business. So, and this has already been happening. Everybody can see it. And now you're right. I mean, this thing is just going to shut down a lot of these local, you know, small, you know, Jimmy Stewart banks. And we're going to be left with the big ones that care not about us and you know, execute the illusion, you know, even faster and further. And it's going to wind up destroying us if we're not, you know, very careful.
Like Jimmy Stewart had, right? You know, the what was about about that little girl or whatever. We need an angel like that because we need something to come in and save us because things are going to get worse. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I agree with that, and I think that this banking thing may be contrived as well to a certain point. I think that the a lot of it's. They're going to hold it off as much as they can, if not to try to get it, wait till a Republican gets in there, just like they always did with the interest rates, which really surprised me that they would raise interest rates during a time of high inflation and everything, because that's a kill switch there. You know, that's just asking for trouble for the banks. But
no question.
Anyway, thanks. So. Yeah, thanks a lot. I wanted to just make that comment and see what you thought about it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Charlie, thank you for the call. What is it you want to read, and how long will it take there, Kirk?
Oh, probably 5 minutes. We'll see. I'm a fast talker, so we'll see what. But, you know, this is old English, so I'll do my best. But anyway, this is a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote while in France to William Stephen Smith, who, you know, was a major proponent of the Revolutionary War. He was a lieutenant colonel. He fought in many battles. He was a U.S. state rep, you know, from New York. He was the husband of the daughter of President John Adams. So he was John Adams' son-in-law. And I just think it's a phenomenon. I mean, I'll start off and say, so Thomas Jefferson letter, this is from November of 1787. And again, it was written to William Stephen Smith. It says, "I do not know whether it is to yourself or Mr. Adams I am to give my thanks for the copy of the new Constitution. I beg leave through you to place them where due. It will be yet 3 weeks before I shall receive them from America. There are very good articles in it and very bad. I do not know which preponderate or weighs more. What we have lately read in the history of Holland in the chapter on the Stadtholder would have sufficed to set me against a chief magistrate eligible."
Hold on, we'll get back to the letter after the break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away. In Dixie's land, where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie land. Then I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land, I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
Oh, we're back. My website is thelibertyman.com. And we are back. Now we're back. This coming August, the first week of August, if you decide to be my guest at the John Moore Ozark Symposium, you'll be my live studio audience all that week. We'll have a great breakfast together, great dinners. We'll probably make a trip down to Freedom Center USA for the day to visit with Sam Andrews and see the facility. And it'll be plenty of one-on-one time with myself for people that attend. Details at thelibertyman.com. We will be adding to the COVID panel today. The article coming out of Germany, published today. Half of all the people in Germany who got the COVID vaccination clot shot have had adverse reactions. Half of those, serious adverse reactions, including the need for brain surgery and things of that nature. Very serious. Last but not least, if you have arthritis pain, you need an energy cleaner. You really do. What are you waiting for? We'll talk more about that the third hour. Details at thelibertyman.com. Being with Kirk, the proprietor of Water Revolution, and let's continue with that letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote.
Okay. What we have lately read in the history on Holland in the chapter on the Stadtholder would have sufficed to set me against a chief magistrate eligible for a long duration, if I have ever been disposed towards one. And what we have always read of the elections of Polish kings should have forever excluded the idea of one continuable for life. Wonderful is the effect of impudent and preserving lying. The British ministry have so long hired their gazetteers or newspaper writers to repeat and model into every form lies about our being an anarchy that the world has at length believed them. The English nation has believed them. The ministers themselves have come to believe them. And what is more wonderful, and is being facetious, we have believed them ourselves. Yet where does this anarchy exist? Where did it ever exist except in the single instance of Massachusetts? And can history produce an instance of a rebellion so honorably conducted? I say nothing of its motives. They were founded in ignorance, not wickedness. God forbid we should ever be 20 years without such a rebellion. The people cannot be all and always well informed. The part which is wrong will be discontented in direct proportion to the importance of the facts they misconceive. If they remain quiet under such misconceptions, it is oligarchy, the forerunner of death to the public liberty. We have had 13 states independent for 11 years. There has been one rebellion. That comes to one rebellion in a century and a half for each state. What country ever existed a century and a half without rebellion? And what country can preserve its liberties if their rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. The remedy is set to them right as to the facts, pardon and pacify them. What signify a few lives lost in a century or two? The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is a natural manure. Our convention has been too much impressed by the insurrection of Massachusetts, and in the spur of the moment, they are setting up a kite to keep the hen yard in order. I hope in God this article will be rectified before the new constitution is accepted. So I believe that what he's, you know, putting to the pen here is that it's very, very easy for a government of any type, to purport lies to the people. And if they have the newspapers or the media in hand, they can perpetuate these lies, make them seem real, and the vast majority of everybody involved is going to believe the lie. That's what I took out of this. Now, of course, he's also talking about how, you know, nice it is to, you know, have a physical rebellion from time to time because it keeps everybody in check. I agree with that in concept, but the practice is ugly, so we won't go down that road. But I just think that even back then, look what was happening with the government control of what he called the gazetteers or the newspaper people. I thought it was very interesting.
It's Thomas Jefferson was a very unique individual. He could write in one hand in Greek and at the same time write in Latin with the other at the same time.
That's pretty unique.
He
was a bright bulb on the tree, in other words.
Right. Well, almost no Harvard graduates could pass the entrance examination for Harvard that was in place in 1800, which required you to be able to translate Latin into English, and Greek and English both. If you couldn't do that as a 18-year-old wannabe freshman, you were not allowed to be a student at Harvard.
Jeez.
That was considered, you were considered illiterate if you couldn't do that.
We've come a long way since then.
Well, unfortunately, yes, we have. I'm going to look up the rate of literacy in the United States. It's about half. About half the adults in this country are illiterate. And it's an issue for everybody. We talk about politics a lot and who's voting for who and why they're voting. If you're illiterate, you can't possibly be a fully informed citizen to make an informed choice, in my opinion. What do you think?
You can if you watch CNN and make your decisions based on those emotions. Which is what they're doing, you know, and it's working. It's so effective. I mean, I can't even begin to believe how effective these talk shows, you know, in concert with the lying media, the two together are a powerful, fooling mechanism. and it works. And then you throw in the education system on top of that. You know, there's 20 kids and eight cans of paint. How many kids can paint? Well, the answer is everybody if they share. And this is the kind of crap that's being, you know, shown. And you know what? It has its, it, I'm not saying that all of it is wrong. I mean, I think people need to be caring of one another, but there has to be a foundation of understanding, you know, a moral code, a religious code. The idea that we can have a constitutional republic, you know, without a belief in God is ludicrous. And it always has been. And they mentioned this, you know, in the late 1700s. I think it was Franklin that said it's impossible. And it is impossible. And not that Franklin was a model of moral code. But the thinking and the philosophy behind these guys, you know, the founding fathers, was incredible. And, you know, personal life, I think, you know, can sometimes be another issue. I mean, people would take offense with that, but we've always seen that. And I just think that... But when you take away the philosophical underpinnings and the understanding of, like you said, you know, you call it literacy. I call it understanding even basic concepts. I mean, most kids today that you catch on the street walking home from high school couldn't tell you even simple facts about dates of when these different world wars were, you know, when the French Revolution was, what it was about, the American. I mean, they know nothing. They couldn't tell you the basics of how the government is supposed to work according to the Constitution. Seems like they're not being taught any of that anymore.
Well, here's the this is at the thinkimpact.com. 21% of United States adults are illiterate this year. 54%, that's more than half, have a literacy below the sixth grade level. That's pretty dismal, isn't it?
It is. It is. And you can see it, you know, the way people behave in public. You know, if you're, you know, out shopping, you know, you can see that this is the case. These numbers are not lying. And it's really just a shame. And you know, it's probably always been the case. I mean, you look back in the medieval time, how many people were really educated versus those that were not. And, you know, the idea that the public school system was created so that people could be literate and all the rest, I think is a lie. I think it ultimately was brought in and created so that they could, you know, create a propaganda mechanism, which has proven to be extremely effective.
You know, here's a statistic that will help people understand the insanity in California. California has the lowest rate of adult literacy. No surprise there, is it?
Well, and they have the best weather, which is, you know, to me an oxymoron, but anyway.
Well, my
what a waste.
My maternal grandfather was illiterate. It was a family secret. I was doing research in the courthouse and found where he signed a loan to buy a Model T Ford pickup truck with an X. A very well kept family secret. Nobody wanted to.
For like $600, right, or whatever it sold for back then.
Well, I don't know what they cost, but that was kind of a side note. Anyway, you got a question or comment? Give us a call at 512-248-8252. You know, I think the 21% literacy rate is illiterate rate is quite frankly a bit low from what I've seen. And if, I guess if you're considered literate, if you can read to a third grade level, that was the Army standard when I was in. If you read to the third grade level, you were considered literate, which is a pretty low standard, isn't it?
I would say. I mean, although the third grade education, you know, when you and I were in elementary school, is probably heads in a way better than what it is now.
Most likely. I've going through my paternal grandfather's papers when he was a boy in school. I was shocked at the level of education boys and girls were getting in elementary school in the early part of the 20th century. We're looking around 1905, 1906, along in there.
Absolutely.
And I saw a video this morning, a short video, where the mayor of this town did a presentation to the school board telling them if they didn't cease and desist from the what he called child pornography, he'd already had a discussion with the judge about getting them all arrested. And he said that they all needed to resign their positions on the Board of Education in this particular community. I don't know what community it was, but some community here in the United States. Anyway, Kirk, it's going back to California. It's a lot easier to control an illiterate population than it is a literate population, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, especially when people don't read, you know, very much, you know, anymore. And if they do, they might read, you know, mainstream newspapers. You just don't see a lot of reading. I mean, the reading may be online, you know, which is totally different than if it's in print, because that can be manipulated, you know, and changed at will. That's one of the reasons I'm not a big fan of electronic books, because they could be updated and changed and manipulated, you know, very easily. You know, the old find and replace mechanism on Microsoft Word. So I just think that, and now you've got this AI thing, you know, these chatbots, and which we're seeing available now for everybody. And, you know, that's just, it's just crazy, you know, what's going on. And all of these things mean that we need to step up our own, you know, personal safeties. And really take a hard look at what we need to at least exert some personal control over. And I think first and foremost is food and water. I want to let everybody know that in the last week, I've gotten 10 people contact me regarding our Helix Energizer device, which is now explained on the website. So if you go to libertymanwater.com or thelibertymanwater.com, and you scroll down the page, there's a video explanation on the Helix Energizer that was done by a very attractive guy. And it kind of gets into some of the detail of that device and how it works and how it's installed and what the various uses are, because they're extensive. And I'm starting to get orders for people that have many different plumbing systems in their house. Some have CPVC, some have PVC, some have copper, some have PEX. Some are interested in a smaller device that they can add on to an existing water filter that they have. All of these things are available with that Helix Energizer technology. And although not a typical filter, it does do a phenomenal job of photo-energizing the water the same way that nature does. And you can really tell the difference. I mean, I've had people hook them up to swimming pools, spas, many people in the houses, all claiming that they can see a difference right away with their water quality. For me, I was able to use a whole lot less salt over time and distance in my softener as a result of installing that. So it's a great device. Again, the Helix Energizer. And of course, our ReadyPure emergency water filter that we talk about so much. Such a great tool, you know, to have on hand, because, I mean, any of these things can result in a situation where we might not have electricity, or we might have sporadic electricity. In that case, we're going to, you know, we could quickly become in trouble for public water. And those that have a well may not be able to get their well water, you know, if this is the case. And that's why this inexpensive device that we call the ReadyPure is great for being able to purify groundwater. And we even have attachments available where you can actually create the alkaline antioxidant energized water on that unit also, which is very unique in the market. And then, of course, we have our simple pump device, which is our manual stainless steel and aluminum pump system that can be set on top of any wellhead, and you can use it to pump water out, you know, from the well without electricity. And it, the unique thing about the simple pump is it will actually pump into pressure. So you can pump it into a pressurized vessel.
Pressure tank.
Which is a big deal. That's a
Kirk, we got a caller to hold here when you get to. We got Glenn in Philadelphia. Good morning, Glenn.
Yes, good morning, John. Good morning, Kirk. Let me make sure my Bluetooth is off here. Here we go. Yes, you guys were just talking about literacy and language. And I have experienced an unusual phenomenon on a daily basis, and that is, like, okay, I am not an English major. I have a liberal arts-based college degree, and I have a nursing diploma and an associate of science for my nursing and stuff, but I'm not a scholar. I'm not an academic. I'm not an English instructor. But I was, like, I graduated high school in 78. I was, you know, raised in an era where we were expected to have certain English composition skills down. And when I went to Enormous State University in the fall of 78, everybody had to be tested for English competency. And if you fell short, you had to take the English Comp 101. And what I'm experiencing every day is that just, I cringe as I go throughout the day hearing some of the things that people are saying. You know, misuse of words, mispronunciation, improper grammar and syntax. It's maddening. But and people say, oh, you know, I expect if I were to say much about this, Well, one time I did speak with actually Jeff Frentz, and we were actually lamenting the state of affairs with regard to the, you know, the lack of the mastery of English. And it's, if anybody even advocates, you know, doing better in this realm, you're you know, panned as being a legalistic Pharisee, a snob, or something like that. And it's just very frustrating. Because on the one hand, literacy is part, one of the great strengths of society. I mean, all these great, you know, empires have always had multiple languages used, you know. And it just drives me bonkers. I'm just wondering if you guys experience this.
Hold on, we'll get back to your comment after the break, Glenn. Perfect.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They got to be tired, the Rebs. They got to be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back. Glenn, restate your question real quick, if you would, please.
Well, basically, I'm cringing and groaning on a daily basis as I hear the English language being butchered, you know, in the media. And this is like people with college degrees, people were supposed to be telecommunications professionals and anchormen and stuff like that. It just, there's a general, you were talking about Jefferson, you know, writing in Greek and Latin. And you know, there's an old joke that says, you know, what do you call someone who speaks two languages? Bilingual. What do you call someone who speaks three languages? Trilingual. What do you call someone who speaks one language? An American. And we're not even doing too well with English right now. I'm wondering, do you notice the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, where just people just butchering the language day in and day out?
I hear it a lot. I'm a very public person out in the community, and I hear it all the time. And how about you, Kirk?
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. And it's the old adage, you know, you can't think beyond your vocabulary.
Oh,
and
okay. No.
And you know, that is happening everywhere, you know, today. I mean, it always was at some level, you know, as we pointed out before, but more and more prevalent. And the other problem is that, you know, in addition to the lack of literacy, you have a lack of foundational philosophy. And when you put those two things together and you take away the moral control, you know, the moral constraint, teaching, you're left with something that's very bad. And that's exactly where we find ourselves now. And, you know, got to get prepared. I mean, these prep messages, you know, that John gives out every day are so very important, you know, to adhere to, no question.
But I think, and one part of the problem is, like, when people try to use, you know, quote, big words, they try to use, you know, they're trying to use a word and they're not pronouncing it right and they're not even using it correctly in context. It's like, stop trying, just say what you're trying to say straightforwardly, you know, and don't try to look, you know, don't try to look intellectual or sound intellectual. Just speak. If people speak, you know, plainly and forthrightly, you get a lot less of that. It's when they're trying to gild the lily, you know, and speak, real fancily. then you get all these. And every day I hear people talking about quoting statistics. You know, well, I was looking at the statistics. You know, or just, I don't know. It's not nearly as important how the message is conveyed, I suppose, as to, you know, what the message is. So ultimately, I understand that linguistic excellence is going to take a back seat. But certainly back in those previous centuries, you know, among the educated, there was a burden to do it, to speak well.
There
anyway,
was.
I agree.
Glenn, thank you for the
All
call.
Right,
we
thank you, guys.
It. Kirk, Bye-bye. Thank you. We'll have you back next Thursday. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
Top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Lynn Horowitz, a man with his brain on fire.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.